Al Horford, two for two, and a steal.
Now, it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
I remember a few months ago you talked about you can't do anything until obviously free agency starts. You used the analogy kind of like that's when you can kind of have the wedding. Well, is the wedding still on?
I don't know. I mean, there's not much I can say about that, honestly, but there's ongoing conversations. Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see what happens there.
Okay. But he hasn't given, or his camp hasn't given you an indication that he does not want to come back here.
I have not received that indication, no.
I talked to one guy who was the same guy that told me Durant was going to the Warriors in January of that year. The same guy said, don't fall for it with this Kyrie stuff. Don't fall for it all year long. Because he's not coming back. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. And when everybody thought he was coming back, the same guy was like, he's not. He's like, I'm telling you right now, he's not. Kyrie just knew, let me just play it this way. And either he convinced Boston he was coming back, or Boston's game plan as a front office was that everybody they talked to just positive, positive, positive. Kyrie's coming back. Kyrie's coming back. It's a certainty. It's a lock. It's the whole thing. I don't think Kyrie had any intention of sticking around. And I think it goes back to last year in the playoffs and not showing up. I think all this stuff is connected. And whether Boston knew it and played it a certain way or Kyrie played them, and that's fine because what they gave up asset-wise...
It was a great risk. I support it.
And good trade.
We made a risk by trading for Kyrie. And no matter what happens with Kyrie, I'll never regret that. Just move on.
All right, welcome into the Sports Hub Celtics Show here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Jim Murray and Ty Anderson along with Tim McCone here and you at 617-779-0985. So all that sound there, that was a broken Danny Ainge, president of basketball ops, who spoke for the first time since his heart attack earlier this week, talking about Kyrie Irving. And then you heard Ryan Russillo on with the insufferable Bill Simmons on his podcast, talking about the rumors that he's heard that it was all a ruse from the beginning. Kyrie Irving getting in front of the Celtics season ticket holders before the season started and saying, oh, you know, I'll be back if you'll have me and all that kind of stuff. It was a ruse. He never wanted to be here. He's not going to be here going forward. And the thing is, too, and you have Danny Ainge being asked about all of the stuff going on with Kyrie Irving and whether or not the proverbial wedding is still on for July 1st. You had Danny Ainge use that term before. No, the wedding is still on. Yeah, but does the bride want to have any part of the wedding? Because Danny sounded like a broken man, a guy who knows that the deposit is still down at the Danvers Port Yacht Club, and the deposit is still down for the DJ and everyone else that you've already paid. You ain't getting that money back, Danny. She ain't going to show up. She realized, you know what? I need to step away from this for a little bit. I want to go on sabbatical. I want to go party with my friends in Ibiza. And, you know, she ended up getting hooked up with a Greek shipping magnate, and she's been partying. She realized, no, this is the life for me. I don't want to be with you, stable Danny Ainge, and stable Celtics. And there is a future that we can build here. I want to go somewhere else and do my own thing, like Brooklyn. I don't know how you feel about this, Ty, but the one thing that's been consistent over the last 3 to 4 weeks, and talking about Kyrie Irving and his free agency, and the whole talk to me July 1st, any of the plugged-in NBA talking heads, they all mentioned Kyrie Irving going to anywhere but the Boston Celtics. It's either Brooklyn, it's the Knicks, it's fill in maybe another team like the LA Clippers, or maybe even the LA Lakers, and he rejoins LeBron James. But the one team you don't hear attached to Kyrie Irving's name from any of the most plugged-in talking heads, from Stephen A. Smith to Ryan Russillo to you name it, none of them mention the Celtics. Like, that has to shake you as a Celtics fan if you still want to have this guy back, even if he pissed you off this year with his attitude. The talent is still there.
He's gone.
Right?
He's gone.
Like, this is it.
It's over. It's done. 2 years, he's gone. It's the fact that, because the other part of it, too, is that he could just come out. It would take all of 5 seconds to come out and go, no, I'm staying in Boston. I don't know what these reports are talking about. Think about how easy that would be. He's not doing that. And he doesn't have to do that. I understand that. But he has done nothing to shut the rumors down. He's purposely vague. Even when he, in season.
Oh, he enjoys it. He loves it.
When he said, ask me July 1st. He's like, what does that mean? You know, like, he's so in love with that element of it all because he's a weirdo. He's a weird person. And I don't think he likes it here. I think that this wasn't as easy as he thought it was going to be coming right in. And I think he thought he was going to come and just be Isaiah Thomas. And he was going to be the better Isaiah. And he was going to lead this team to a championship easily. Didn't happen. harder than he thought, and I think he's gone.
Yeah, and he has also dropped little breadcrumbs here on social media within the last week or so. We talked about this on Felgrad Maz earlier this week. Like, all of a sudden, for a guy who hadn't posted on his Instagram page since, you know, the end of March, all of a sudden, there's like a little love letter to his hometown where he has this video up where it reads, "Stroll with me, my light family. Home is where the heart lives and stays. Home is where the heart lives and stays." And here he is back in New Jersey talking to his crossing guard that used to help him cross the street when he was a wee lad. And it's a nice little moment. Seems a bit contrived. But home is where the heart lives and stays. Okay, you want to be in New Jersey. What team used to be in New Jersey? The Nets. Now, the Brooklyn Nets this week have done everything in their power to create enough cap space to acquire two superstars. They trade Allen Crabbe and his $18.5 million deal to the Atlanta Hawks with some draft picks. They freed up more cap space. They can sign two big names. Lately, all you've heard is Kyrie to Brooklyn, Kyrie to Brooklyn, Kyrie to the Brooklyn Nets. Even from a basketball standpoint, if they kept D'Angelo Russell, you're now talking about two ball-dominant point guards. Like, I don't know, on the surface, McCone, it doesn't make much sense to me, but maybe you trade away D'Angelo Russell and some other assets. Caris LeVert, I don't know, maybe some draft picks in New Orleans. You bring Anthony Davis there, but I don't know. Does Brooklyn even make sense just from a basketball standpoint to you for Kyrie to go there?
I mean, like you said, it's going to be two max slots, so I guess you're building the team essentially around those two, because I can't imagine Kyrie and D'Angelo Russell would be the two that would play together in it. But the fact that they shipped off two first-round picks to make this trade happen tells me that they clearly know something's about to go down and they're going to get at least one of these guys. So I would imagine Kyrie Irving's going to go there. I'm with Ty. He's a weird guy. You go back to that Bill Simmons podcast he did last year where he talks about how he expects to play for five or six teams throughout his career. And you're like, wait, hold on, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, what is that? Wait a second. And now I think if you're a Celtics fan and you think that Kyrie has any shot of coming back, you're delusional. I think this has been, the writing's been on the wall for a long, long time now, and I don't think he's coming back.
And the talk, did you hear, or were you there sticking a microphone in the face of Danny Ainge this week when he finally spoke? Like, he really came off, and granted, the guy just dealt with a real health scare, his second heart attack in the last, 15 years or so. But still, there was an air of finality and dejection to Danny Ainge and talking about Kyrie Irving. Like, it's almost like I feel like he found out this week, like maybe it was via the agent, or that he keeps trying to call Kyrie and he gets no answer and it goes straight to voicemail. He's like, there was a finality to it to me where it's like Ainge and the Celtics realized, he really is gone. He's gone.
Well, think about it. Ainge has spent 5 years building to this point. And if his Kyrie Irving buys in, you can really sell Anthony Davis on the Celtics,
yeah,
and suddenly have a championship contender. The fact that now this guy's backing out is going to go somewhere else, this whole thing's blown up in his face. And now you're staring down either making a risky, risky trade for Anthony Davis and hoping that he stays, or you're building again and you're building around the young guys. And these picks haven't turned out the way they were. They're going to be late first round picks this year. Like, there's just no clear path anymore for the Celtics to be contenders. I would be pretty miserable if I was Danny Ainge too.
Bill in Framingham, your thoughts on this. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey guys. You know, when they were going to get Kyrie Irving, I was never more excited in my life about a Celtics trade. I thought this was the best thing that ever happened. But after the year went on, it was the most disappointing, not so much about the results of the team, but I just didn't think Kyrie Irving was the player that they made him out to be. I didn't see him hit game-winning shots at the end of the games. I thought his play wasn't as good as I expected it to be, except for a few Harlem Globetrotter-type moments, and you can see where he has the ball skills and stuff. I just didn't think he was as good as advertised.
Yeah, Bill.
And I'm actually kind of glad that, you know, they're moving on from him.
Bill, thanks for the call. I mean, volume score, the handles, obviously, wow, you. We all fell in love with that. It's like the hot sex of it. That's why Danny still wants the wedding to happen. Like, man, have you seen the scoring? Have you seen the handles? Oh, it's so hot. But that said, no, he was ultimately a disappointment, especially when you look at the four straight games that they lost to Milwaukee, where he got literally progressively worse. For a guy, and I think we all kind of got fooled, a guy that you look at as a closer, he hits one of the biggest shots in NBA Finals history with that one title that he won with Cleveland. He, especially this year, he kind of sucked. You know, the biggest moments? Sucked. So did we overrate him, or did he just pack it in? Either way, it's not good.
He was awful in game 4 and 5. He was so bad in those two games. I think it was game 5. I just said, enough. Just
right.
Leave, dude.
Yeah, right.
Whatever.
Yeah. It was like
you're that bad. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, it was a last straw, I think, for a lot of people, and rightfully so. But is Anthony Davis still on the table? Chris Mannix seems to believe so. Chris Mannix, who covers the NBA for Sports Illustrated, want to play you some sound there, and we'll get further insight on that. Coming up with Chris Forsberg, who covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. We'll do that next. And if you want to join us, 617-779-0985. Sports Hub Celtics Show with Jim Murray and Ty Anderson and Tim McCone here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Terry Rozier, he's going to pull up and shoot a three. Got it!
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
From what I've been able to learn, if Kyrie Irving walks, it is not going to diminish their appetite to go get Anthony Davis.
That's interesting.
They are still, I think, going to be aggressive with Davis. Now, I don't know what that means, whether it means they would include Jason Tatum in a Davis deal, but from what I understand, they're not going to take their foot off the gas when it comes to pursuing Anthony Davis.
All right, so that's Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix, who believes that even if they lose Kyrie Irving, the Celtics would still be with their foot down on the gas pedal in an effort to go get Anthony Davis and trade for him and get him out of New Orleans. It's the Sports Hub Celtics Show. It's Jim Murray, Ty Anderson, Tim McCone, and you at 617-779-0985. And I want to get further into this as to whether or not the Celtics really should be in on Anthony Davis, especially if they don't get, like, you know, at least the handshake commitment of a long-term deal. We'll bring in Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston, joining us here in the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hey there, Chris.
What's going on?
So, would they still be bullish on Anthony Davis if Kyrie is to walk? And we'll get to that. But just in terms of Anthony Davis, do you still look at this as a realistic trade scenario for Boston?
Yeah, like, I think especially because of what Kawhi taught us this year is that it's sometimes it's okay to go after a big star and to not know what the long-term plan is. And sometimes it bears out well. So, but I do think they'd be more cautious. I just don't think, you know, like let's say that you're talking to New Orleans and they said, listen, all right, well, we can get a deal done, but you got to have Tatum and Brown and, you know, whatever else it's got to be in there, the picks. And, you know, but I mean, we need both those young guys. Well, if you don't know Kyrie's coming back, then you're probably reluctant to do that. But if Kyrie says to you, you know, hey, I'm probably coming back, if you make that move, then maybe you're more aggressive. So I just think it's a balance. So if they know for any reason before they get to that finish line or before the draft that just Kyrie's not coming back, I think you trade more carefully. You try to keep one of those young guys and, you know, at least give yourself somebody to build around moving forward if the disaster scenario played out, which you did trade for Anthony Davis and he bolted after a year. But, you know, Danny Ainge did say the other day that they're not going to be afraid of risk. And while we all kind of clung to that part about, you know, not having any regrets because of what happens with Kyrie, you know, in my mind, the first part of the quote was about, you know, hey, there's Anthony Davis and we're going to still be aggressive with that.
No, go ahead, Ty.
Chris, Ty Anderson, 98.5 The Sports Hub here. When you talk about that risk, do you think Kawhi, having the success that he's had this year at Toronto, has made them more open to saying, okay, we got our chips now, let's push them in, even if it's only for 1 year?
Yeah, I think around the league that'll be sort of be the trickle-down effect here where, you know, listen, it's never easy to go all in for guys that are flight risks. And the Celtics have certainly treaded carefully in the past, whether that's Jimmy Butler or Paul George or all those guys. There's just, you know, it's a certain level of player that you're willing to really go all in on. And I do wonder if Anthony Davis is that type. It's not every day that I think people forget, too, that like 2 years ago he might have been the best player in basketball. And, like, last year was a train wreck. And in the same way that everyone was leery of Kawhi based on how it all played out in San Antonio and only playing 9 games. You know, I think we do the same thing with Anthony Davis now. And they're like, well, his attitude, the that's all folks T-shirt, you know, that's not a great look. And it's not, but he's still super talented. And you put him in the right situation and you're going to have championship potential. And maybe not to the certainty of Kawhi because he had been there and done it. And we haven't seen that with Anthony Davis. But, I do think that teams around the league, whether it's Boston, whether it's other teams that are just have less certainty and just are trying to get into that mix, will be more aggressive. And I think that's what Kawhi will teach us this year. It's just, it's okay to make a crazy move and then have to figure it out further down the road.
It's Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, covers the Celtics for them. So the hypothetical package, you have to think that it automatically includes Jason Tatum, right? Because everything that I've read, it sounds like New Orleans really covets him the most.
Absolutely. I think any deal starts with him. And my fear has always been that, especially once the finals end and everyone starts sort of examining their rosters, and especially as we get close to the draft, you know, there'll be some wild card teams that will jump in here. Like if Toronto loses Kawhi and they've got to start thinking about what's next, I could see them throwing Siakam in the mix and thinking about how the next iteration of their team is going to look. And, you know, maybe if they win the title, it doesn't matter. Maybe they get that grace period after that. But I just think there's going to be more teams that get involved. And I think that's going to drive the price tag up. And you don't normally see that with a guy that only has 1 year left under contract. It usually helps bring the price down. But I just think because of the magnitude of Davis and the potential for the bidders to be out there, you're going to have to look at a situation where it starts with Tatum. You know, whether it's picks after that might depend on what how you're going to make the salaries match. Like, if we keep saying how Marcus Smart would sort of have to be a part of this to make the salaries match, and that's true to a degree if you're just going to go the easy route and it's a two-team trade and the Celtics got to figure out a way to get the money there. So I don't think you'd go Tatum, Brown, Smart. Like, Smart's going to be just someone to make the salaries match. But if it's Tatum, Grizzlies pick, and you know, and they want Brown too, you know, then you got to probably get a third team involved to try and keep Smart out of there. It gets difficult, but yeah, like the price tag is going to add up in my mind. I think, you know, David Griffin has to be aggressive here, and ultimately whoever gets him is going to pay a steep ransom with no guarantees.
Chris, looking at that trade package and what's out there, I mean, obviously you'd love to have the Irvin Davis combination, but what happens if Irvin walks in? Do you still want to make that move, or do you look at the free agent market and say, okay, where else can you sort of add to this team?
Yeah, I think you're a little bit more reluctant. That's why I think, you know, if for any reason they knew before the draft that Kyrie was like signaled to them, like, hey, I just don't think I'm coming back, but that the Celtics still wanted to go after Anthony Davis, I don't think you throw both Jaylen and Tatum in there. Again, you got to have something that you're building around, you know, 2 years out if Anthony Davis did flee for L.A. after a season. But I do think even if you do make that move, say it's Tatum, Grizzlies pick, say they make you throw Smart in there, you know, you're still coming back with a team that even if Kyrie's not there, you know, whether it's Rozier or some wild card at the point guard, you know, you'd still have Jaylen, you'd still have probably Horford would want to come back at that point, and with Davis in the front court alongside, healthy Gordon Hayward, like, there's potential there to still be very competitive. So that's part of the reason why I think Boston will be aggressive. I just think the amount to which they would be willing to go changes. It's, you know, whereas if you're feeling like, all right, if the only hope of keeping Kyrie, but we can put Kyrie and Davis together is to go all in and really just sacrifice a lot of our young assets. Okay, maybe then you pull the trigger. But, you know, without the guarantee that Kyrie's here and maybe adding a little bit of murkiness to whether AD would want to stick around after the year, you just kind of pull back a little bit and hope that for whatever reason, like Tatum and picks are still sexy enough to David Griffin to make that deal.
Chris, did you feel the, you know, the air of finality and resignation that I did in hearing Danny Ainge this week talk about Kyrie Irving? Like, and you see what happened with Brooklyn this week. They free up more cap space by trading Allen Crabbe to Atlanta. They have two spots for max guys. Like, it's crazy. Like, I said it earlier, all you keep hearing, especially from, like, the national talking heads that cover the NBA, everyone, when they talk about Kyrie Irving and his free agency, you never hear the Boston Celtics attached to him anymore. Like, do you feel like he's as good as gone, and is Brooklyn going to be the team he goes to?
I know this is crazy, but I'm not sold that it's just, like, a foregone conclusion that he's gone to like, it really doesn't matter, like, what team you want to pick, whether you think it's the Knicks or the Nets or whatever. You know, listen, now, when there's smoke, there's usually fire, right? And I'm not trying to downplay all the signals this week from his Instagram, hugging security crossing guards back in his hometown of New Jersey, to being photographed in New York, to the tone of Danny's voice when he was answering that question. The one thing I'd temper with is that what sort of contributed to the Celtics season going off the rail was when Kyrie's name got dragged into all these talks. And I think the Celtics have been super careful not to apply any inside pressure about wanting to bring him back. You know, we heard Rick Grosbeck tap dance around it when he was on with you guys. And now Danny, I think they're just like, for whatever reason, that rubs Kyrie the wrong way. And he doesn't like the speculation. And I think they learned that the hard way as part of this season. And so I think they sort of step back and they say, hey, if Brooklyn wants to clear this room and spread all these rumors about how much he wants to be there, I think they're content to let that process play itself out. Now, listen, he's got to have a lean, right? And I don't think it's clear that he's at least interested in all these other spots. And I just don't know if we know where Kyrie is at mentally, because his circle is so small. There's very few people that I would think would have an idea about where he is. And I just think there's a lot, like, I hear agents all the time telling me, oh, yeah, he's gone. He's gone. And I said, well, how do you know? And they're like, well, that's just what everyone's saying. And I go, yeah, but I don't know how many people know what Kyrie's thinking. And so I just can't close the door on the possibility that Kyrie could just show up on July 1st and be like, hey, man, I never said anything different. I'm ready to sign. And, you know, like, listen, would I bet my life savings on it? No. But I just until there's a push from Kyrie or verbal sort of affirmation that he wants to go somewhere else, I'll leave the door slightly cracked for the potential to come back.
Well, with all the drama around them, and specifically him, and what you're going to be talking about, you know, in the next few weeks here with free agency, do you feel like you're working for Bravo rather than NBC Sports Boston at times? Because, like, this is ridiculous.
It is, but you know what? Selfishly, it's kind of fun.
Of course.
I say that, and then I'll temper it. Like, you know, every time there's a, that Stephen A. can change a tune, and everyone just is like, oh, okay, yeah, he's definitely going to Brooklyn. I sit there and slap my head and go, you know, do we question anything anymore? Like, can we follow the money here a little bit and figure out, like, why people might spread rumors about why he wants to go here or here? I mean, didn't we learn this during the season? And yet the interest goes up, and I'm always just fascinated by how into it people are. And I forget who said it last night. The NBA season starts July 1, and, you know, the finals have been great, and it's been neat to see Toronto in there, but, man, like, the summer will be crazy, and it's going to be kind of fun to just look how it all this plays out, especially with so many guys on the market. But, yeah, if I have to sit there and study, like, an Instagram video one more time to try and figure out where Kyrie's going because his newfound girlfriend is from Compton, California, so, of course, he's going to the Lakers. Or he's hugging a security guy. That part drives me a little wild, but it is what it is.
Chris Forsberg, Boston Celtics reporter for NBC Sports Boston. Give him a follow on Twitter if you're not already, at Chris Forsberg _. Chris, thanks for taking the time.
Hey, thanks, y'all. Take care.
Hey, you too. Chris comes to us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. And if you want to get in on the Kyrie conversation, I still think he's as good as gone, but you let us know. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone, Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
Brooklyn will hope that Kyrie Irving would be the Pied Piper to go recruit another star free agent, namely Kevin Durant, to join him in Brooklyn, but it takes a level of confidence 3 weeks out from free agency to give up two first-round picks to clear the cap space you need to have two max slots. But Kyrie Irving is that target, and there is no question, I'm told, that Kyrie Irving has a serious interest in the Brooklyn Nets in free agency. If Durant wants to play with Kyrie Irving in free agency, then Brooklyn is absolutely more than a viable option. If he wants to play with Kyrie in free agency, he may have to do it in Brooklyn because his focus right now, Kyrie Irving, if he leaves Boston, is the Brooklyn Nets.
See, proof yet again that all these plugged-in NBA insiders, like that's Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, talking about almost like it's formality. It's Kyrie Irving to the Brooklyn Nets, who freed up more cap space this week, trading Allen Crabb to the Atlanta Hawks along with some draft picks, and now they can sign two max contracts. Do you hear the Celtics attached to that at all? No. 617-779-0985, the phone number if you want to join the Sports Hub Celtics show. It's Jim Murray, Ty Anderson, and Tim McCone, and you. Let's go to Mike in Randolph. You're next up here on 98.5 Sports Hub. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. Happy Saturday.
You as well.
You know, I got to tell you, I love Forsberg, and, you know, everyone thinks I'm crazy, but I agree with him exactly. I could see him re-signing here and people being like, well, what about Brooklyn? And he'd be like, I didn't say anything about Brooklyn. It was all media-driven. It was all media this. I didn't say anything about L.A. I didn't say anything about the Knicks. He's a weird guy. He's going to go somewhere maybe that we haven't even talked about. Kyrie is an odd duck, but here's what I'll say. I find it so hard to believe that Danny Ainge would ever just let him walk. And I would think there already had to have been a conversation. Kyrie, let us know where you want to go if you don't want to stay here. We can sign you to that max deal and then do a sign and trade so you can go where you want and make the most money and we're not left at the altar. I'd be shocked if Danny Ainge hasn't gone through that with multiple different teams. What are your thoughts on that?
Thanks, Mike. And I want to hit that the way that you set it up. First, the more I thought about it, and since the commercial break, there almost could be some validity to that because Kyrie is such a weirdo that what's the weirdest thing he could do at this point? Come back. And then people again would be like, wait a minute. No. What about the Instagram post? Why were you essentially, you know, getting all huggy and lovey with your old crossing guard in New Jersey? What's with these posts? And why were you attached to the Brooklyn Nets? I thought you wanted to go play with the Knicks. I don't know what you're talking about. No, I wanted to come here the whole time. Huh? Well, that makes no sense. It's because his numerology group told him to come back to the Celtics. He is that big of a weirdo. I really wouldn't put it past him.
He's like, Petey? That's my friend.
Yeah, right. You know,
I hang out with him all the time.
Yeah, I just wanted to post that up, show some love to the old crossing guard.
So I will say this about all that. He does live there in the offseason.
In New Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, and so I, while we all want to go crazy reading into it, he does live there. It is his offseason.
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense, but I think the Nets making that trade to move Allen Krebs' contract makes way more sense than just
Oh, sure.
You know, like they're obviously going for Kyrie and or Durant. They're going to get at least one of them, you'd think, because that's a better situation than the Knicks. I don't care what anyone says. That's a way better situation than the Knicks.
And then the sign and trade thing, I initially poo-pooed because we took some of those calls in recent weeks on Felger and Maz, and I was like, well, why would he help out the Celtics? But, you know, but he would, because if it's about the money, if he, you know, by doing that, it's 5 years, up to $250 million. Like, you get that max deal. Like, that assures you of that, and then you're traded somewhere else. One of the ones I was reading, I forget which one of the blogs, it was Celtics blog or Hardwood Houdini or one of those, that they were saying a great hypothetical would be a sign and trade with Phoenix to bring in Devin Booker. I love Devin Booker. And I know if Chris was here, he'd be pants off because it's one of his favorite players in the league. Okay, like, if you can make that happen, I don't know what the rest of the deal would have to include, because I'm not doing that because I hate some of the, well, you have the Rose rule and all the other nonsense that goes on. But, you know, just thinking one for one, if he did a sign and trade with Phoenix, you bring in Devin Booker, I'd be for that. I don't know how you feel about that, McCone. You know the league pretty well.
I would be all about it. The problem is, like, the new CBA makes the sign and trades, like, so difficult because the salary, it's like the full cap goes against the team that's now acquiring them, but 50% goes against it. And it's just
they've NBA minutia.
They've written all these rules in that make sign and trades for a max guy, like what Kyrie Irving would be, like, borderline impossible for it to go down. If you could somehow get a Devin Booker out of it, absolutely, you do that 10 times out of 10. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, well, either way.
I would ask you this with Kyrie. Do you need the full commitment, or would you want to do
like a one-and-one?
The one-and-ones that LeBron and KD and those guys have done.
After what I saw this year, I think I'm good.
Oh, I could not do it again. Because it would be the same thing as this year. Oh, my God. In December, you're like, is he going to stay? And he's going to... Every post game, you're going to get something. I'm all set. No.
But I feel like he would want to do that because he's that guy that he'd want to see where the franchise is going, because he views himself as LeBron. Whether he ever admits it or not, he is LeBron. That's who he is. 100%. He's everything he wanted to get away from in Cleveland, in Boston. He's just that version. So it wouldn't surprise me if he said, yeah, I'll stay, but I want to do a one-and-one.
Yeah, I think I'm good.
Here's what's so frustrating about this whole situation. He committed to the Celtics in the beginning of the season, and for as bad as this year went, if you're Danny Ainge, you can sit there and say, yeah, we're getting rid of all these guys. We're bringing in Anthony Davis. It's exactly what you wanted, and still he's going to leave. Like, I can't. I'm over it.
Yeah.
Just leave. Just leave.
Tom in the car. You're next here in the Sports Hub Celtics show.
Hey, guys. I was taking some issue with something caller said earlier where, like, look, we do overrate our players, and especially Celtics fans overrate their players more than anybody. But this may be the one guy we haven't overrated. And you guys pointed out, yes, he was bad in the Bucks series, but there is no positive to take out of Kyrie leaving. There's just none. If the end goal is to win a championship, there's no positive to take. He will attract other superstars. It's not like if he signs elsewhere, it's like baseball where you get a first round pick or something like that. If he leaves, it's devastating. So this everything is awesome, turning it into, oh yeah, well, I never really liked Kyrie. I had a problem with him. He's too much of a ball hogger. He does this, he doesn't do that. If he leaves, it's just simply devastating. And I'm tired of kind of hearing these like positives and he's not a true Celtic and stuff. Like, if he's not a true Celtic, please bring in more not true Celtics. Like, I want players who are not Celtics who will actually win playoff series and go to the finals. I'm tired of the Kyrie is overrated and it's a good thing if he leaves. That's the stupidest take of all the takes going out there regarding Kyrie Irving.
Thanks, Tom. I know that Maz agrees with you. You know, the talent trumps the trouble, and it typically does in that league. I just think if he were to come back and he wanted to come back, like, he'd have to want to come back. And I also think he would have to, I don't know, like, have some personal responsibility and get in front of a camera or some microphones and say, like, hey, last year I screwed up. There were some bad things going on behind the scenes. I had a bad attitude. Something along those lines. Because I still think, for at least from a marketing standpoint, if you were to come back, he's a tough sell. And all would be forgotten if they had a great first month and it looked like how it was supposed to look, what we thought it was going to look like going into this season. But initially, like, I don't know how you can sell that guy's jerseys right now. Like, for, again, from a marketing standpoint, I feel like people collectively want nothing to do with him.
But he's not going to apologize.
No, I know.
That's the thing. He's not, like, he can't. You know what he'd do? He'd walk in and go, okay, Horford's like 35. Yeah. Gordon Hayward has one leg. And you're going to blame me for last year? Like, that's what he'll do.
Yeah. No, that's, again, he's mercurial. Oh, I hate when that word is thrown around with him. No, he's just a giant pain in the ass. We'll continue to take your calls on Kyrie Irving as it feels like he's going to be anywhere but Boston next season. 617-779-0985. I also collectively want to get your guys' thoughts on the finals between Toronto and Golden State. It feels like we are seeing the end of an era with the Warriors. Or maybe we're being a little bit premature there as the Raptors take a commanding 3-1 series lead with last night's win. We'll get to that coming up next here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Chris Casper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtic Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I do know that there is some regret from some people within the Celtics organization about not pulling the trigger on a Kawhi Leonard deal last summer.
A lot of teams should regret that.
Well, the Celtics, though, I mean, it was pretty, like, they could have made a deal for Kawhi Leonard, my understanding from kind of both sides of this, involving Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, or Jaylen, at least Jaylen Brown is the centerpiece of it all. They didn't do it, in part because I don't think they wanted to tie themselves to two players that are going to be unrestricted free agents in the summer of 19. At that time, they had no idea what Kyrie was going to do.
So that's Chris Mannix again, Sports Illustrated, talking about the regret the Celtics probably have, like many teams, for not being more aggressive in trying to bring in Kawhi Leonard, who has been phenomenal in this postseason, and specifically when it matters most in the NBA Finals against the Golden State Warriors. In case you didn't see last night, a quick little recap for those not paying attention. The Raptors now up 3-1 on Golden State with their 105-92 win last night in Golden State, in Oakland, rather, where they've now won two straight. And really, if it wasn't for a push in Game 2 last Sunday, especially by Klay Thompson, where they went on, what, an 18-0 run to start the third quarter, this series would be over. This series would be over. I will always cop to when I am wrong. It's Ty Anderson in for Chris Casper today. Ty, I thought this would be Warriors in five. This is going to be over the next game. Unless Kevin Durant comes back, and I don't think it's a calf injury. I think it's a hamstring or whatever that is. Like, it's a bad injury. He's done. And even at this point, if you're Durant, why would you even want to come back if you maybe injured yourself when you're about to get paid and go to another team this summer in free agency? This is over. Kawhi Leonard has been dominant. I think you could even make a case that he's the best player in the NBA for the way that he's played in this series. And more than anything else, and I don't know how you guys feel in watching this, I can't believe how well these role players have played. Guys who I kind of thought were bums. And Kyle Lowry, Siakam has moments, but I just think that those guys have been inconsistent. This team's been ridiculous. They're the Warriors, whereas the Warriors just look like, well, like the Cavs last year.
Yeah, it's wild to watch Greta Van Fleet and
another guy
and Serge Ibaka out here. Yeah. Knocking down shots. I know it's Fred Van Fleet. I'm going to say Greta. We're watching the end of the Warriors. It really does,
it does
feel
like that way.
It feels like the 2004 Lakers. It feels like the 2010
end of the Cavs
Celtics.
Last year.
Yeah, yeah. Like you can go back and find all these teams that the final year where you look at the bench, you look at the roster that they have, and you're like, ugh, this is getting a little thin here if these stars aren't producing. And I thought Curry played a great game last night in the fourth quarter, but it's just The other pieces are not good enough right now, and I think that this is truly the end of the Warriors. Whether it's the end of their window as a whole is a different story, but I think this team is cooked this year.
I think this series is over. The only thing I can come back to is the fact that, you know, at the start of this season, we were like, the Celtics could definitely make the finals, and if things break right, maybe they could win it. And everything broke exactly how you would want. If the Celtics just lived up to expectations, they could actually be raising a banner right now, because this Warriors team is a shell of itself.
Yeah, no, the Celtics derailed themselves again because of bitchiness behind the scenes. That's the only reason that really didn't work out this year, because they all acted like a bunch of bitches. Well, and to be fair, Gordon Hayward really never found himself after that horrific injury. But boy, what a mess. And I have to think that Celtics fans collectively look at this and think that, too. Like, oh my God, the window was really open. The Warriors are falling apart here. We had a chance if we could just get their crap together, and they couldn't because of behind-the-scene pettiness.
But you know what the truth is? They would not have beaten the Raptors.
No, probably not. No, their record up there is horrific in Toronto. So, you know.
And who stops Kawhi? That guy is, to your point, he's a monster. He's playing the best basketball I've seen a single player play in a very long time.
Yeah, and so him, too, I was wrong on. Like, I didn't really like how everything fell apart there between him and Popovich and San Antonio. And as great as he was, 4 years ago in that final against Miami and LeBron, I thought, like, okay, that was kind of a flash in the pan type moment, but that was his one moment, kind of like Dirk's was 8-9 years ago, and that would be it. And I thought he had fell off a little bit. No, he is dominant. You could make a case, again, with the way he's played in this postseason and in the finals so far, he's the best player in the league.
Yeah.
And take that, Giannis. The other thing, too, like if you were watching last night, I just think there is something. I still have a heart. It's not 10 sizes too small. It's not made of coal completely just yet. I do like how it goes throughout the provinces of Canada, and you have 18 people in their one TV that they have in Saskatchewan watching. Like, collectively, Canada wants this. And with all the shady officiating throughout the years in the NBA, I was also convinced, guys, that the league would never allow Toronto to win an NBA championship. And who knows? Maybe we could have the comedy of Golden State coming back 3-1 and winning a series. I don't see it because they seem undermanned. But that's the other thing. I just never thought the league would allow it, and it looks like the Raptors really are going to wrap this up and win their first championship. And good for them.
I'm in a weird spot.
Oh, because you hate Toronto people, right?
Toronto people.
Yeah, because you deal with the madness of social media of Maple Leafs fans. I don't blame you there.
But I also hate the Warriors. So it's like, you can imagine the tough spot I'm in right now. But the enemy is my friend, so go Raptors.
Yeah.
I also like they call it Jurassic Park. I think that's kind of cool. I don't know. I like cheesy nicknames for arenas and stadiums.
Yeah.
So I like that.
All right. Well, so wraps up the NBA and Celtic conversation. If you do want to get on with us, we'll continue to take your calls on that. We got to get back to the Bruins as Game 6 looms large tomorrow night in St. Louis with the Bruins down in the Stanley Cup Final to the Blues, 3-2. We will get to that right after these Sports Hub headlines here with Tim McCone with some noteworthy Red Sox updates, too. A guy they just brought back from the injury list, back on it. He'll tell you about that here in the Sports Hub headlines. And then we'll do the last hour of Gaspar Murray next here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.